Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi! So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance. Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Now for a taste of things to come.
Greetings, my fellow combatants. It is I, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from ThisWeekInGeek.net, and you are listening to the topic show for the month of April. But I'm not alone as I journey to Outworld to battle for the fate of the realm of Earth. I am joined with...
Andrew, your soul is mine, Roebuck.
You know what? I'm surprised it's taken us this long to talk about this.
Yeah, you know, it's... I don't know. I feel like this is like one of those nerdy things that like I don't talk about that much, but I know a stupid amount about.
Yeah, like it's ridiculous how much Mortal Kombat ruled my life as a kid. But before we go any further, I do have to send a special shout out to Nathan. He's the guy who suggested this like for a long, long time. He's wanted Twig to talk about this, and he said he'd kick my ass if I didn't mention his name in the beginning. So Nathan, this one's for you, buddy. But also have to thank our sponsors of offworlddesigns.com, gameaccess.ca, sfi.org, or SFI, Starfleet! Anyway, sorry guys if I screwed you up there. But still, thank you guys for helping make this show possible. Because, hey, today, like I said, we're talking about Mortal Kombat. This month has seen the release of Mortal Kombat 10. This franchise has been around for now over 20 years. That's insane when you really kind of break it down. But I guess before we go into just the facts, whatnot, we should probably catch up on what's going on. Site updates you guys should know about. There may be some downtime in the next couple of days to the next week or two as we transition to a new host and move the domain over, which is good. So you can thank Steve Megatron Phillips from the Geekcast Radio Network for putting that one together. I have interviews coming up for Botched Role involving something called Sirenscape, which will add music to your RPG sessions, and some other cool stuff coming up with that. I'm also going to be talking with Tuesday Night. You may remember her from the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Who is she on the Nightmare on Elm Street?
She played Kristen Parker in Number 4, and she sang the theme song to that one.
Which one is that? What's the theme song? Is that
Nightmare.
Dream? Oh, that's Nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dream Warriors was Dawkin, which is pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so we're going to be talking to her. I've also got an interview with some of the people that put together the Sailor Moon DVDs and Blu-rays, which you can get right now. So a lot of good stuff coming up for the month of May. We don't know what the topic show is going to be for that one just yet. We're still trying to figure that one out. But anyway, Andrew, what have you been up to?
Oh, not much other than being stupid and getting a massive VHS collection because at my work I can get VHSs for 10 cents. So, yeah, I'm a very responsible person and now have boxes and boxes full of VHSs everywhere.
You know what you should do? You should get one of those professional-level VCRs and find stuff that isn't on available and just dub it, and then this way you have your personal collection you can share amongst your friends.
That's true, too. That a lot of the, well, that's what I'm mostly collecting is either stuff that's out of print on, like, DVD or, like, stuff that I haven't ever seen anywhere else. So it's always a good idea. But when you first said dub it, I thought you were going to say dub it like old bad anime and Godzilla movies. Oh, who dub?
Now, I used to be a huge fan of big box VHS horror movies because there's a bunch of horror movies that just never made the jump to digital for whatever reason.
For sure, man. Like, that's half of the collection is all horror movies because, like, back in the heyday of VHSs, it was always, like, straight to VHS. Like, there was a lot of straight-to-home video releases that never got anywhere other than VHS.
You know what? I'm kind of thinking I smell a topic show here. Because I love VHS, and it's got such an interesting history because you look at VHS, Betamax, and Laserdisc.
Oh, man, I can talk about all of those.
That you know what? Good. Maybe that'll be the topic show for May, where we'll talk about the history of home media, because some of it is very interesting, and stuff you didn't know, and you'd be surprised who decides a lot of it. I'm just saying the adult industry. But anyway, before we get any further down this rabbit hole, for the month of April, we are celebrating Mortal Kombat, and here is me with Just the Facts.
A handful of people on a leaky boat are gonna save the world.
Exactly.
In 1992, a video game would enter the arcade scene that would change the industry forever.
Mortal Kombat!
Midway employees Ed Boon and John Tobias would take a project that was originally supposed to be a Jean-Claude Van Damme project into a different direction after JCD was unable to commit the time. Mortal Kombat is the story of a tournament that is held once a generation and run by the evil sorcerer Shang Tsung and the armies of Outworld led by Emperor Shao Kahn to invade the realm of Earth and pretty much make it suck for everyone involved. The rules are simple. If any one realm wins 10 consecutive tournaments, they earn victory, and that can mean safety, invasion, or potentially something a lot worse.
You will die, mortal.
The storyline in Mortal Kombat is one of the many reasons that it stands out from fighters such as Street Fighter, King of Fighters, Killer Instinct, and the like, because the lore is often deep and well thought out and actually drives forward a plot that really began in the second Mortal Kombat game and continues to this very day. The game series has expanded into multiple sequels across a variety of consoles and arcade versions, from the original Mortal Kombat in 1992 and ending its arcade run with the Mortal Kombat 4 arcade machine. But continuing on with titles such as Deadly Alliance, Deception, and Armageddon, and finally the two newest entries, which reboot the lore and take the series in a new direction, retconning the original events that played out. Yes, there were other games like Sub-Zero Mythologies, which was good, and then the pretty stupid Special Forces for the PlayStation 1. The less said about that game, the better.
It's official. You suck.
Characters such as Earthrealm's protector, the God of Thunder, Raiden, are given in-depth backgrounds to give weight to the lore and expand the universe into other media, such as books, animated media, and even a live-action stave tour that was similar to the TMNT Coming Out of the Shells tour, only a lot less stupid, and there were actually cool fights. However, there is a clip from KTLA where Shang Tsung, the evil wizard, gives you positive advice.
What sort of positive messages?
What helps children be able to be concerned about violence and the difference between martial arts and violence. It helps them to be positive. It helps them to be able to overcome any obstacles which is in their life and to be able to obtain goals. It helps them to commit to good things in their life.
Mortal Kombat has had two theatrical films, the first one in 1995, and is often considered one of the best game-to-movie translations. The second in 1997 was considered a massive bomb by fans and the box office in general. However, we did not yet have our fill of combat, as we did get a 13-episode animated series on the USA Network called Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, which featured talents like Ron Perlman, Clancy Brown, and Luke Perry as Sub-Zero. Yes, 90210's Luke Perry. The series is notable for introducing Quan Chi, who is a major villain in the series of games. We also got a live-action series known as Mortal Kombat Conquest, which was extremely well-received by fans for its portrayal of a time before the events of the first game and the lore such as the Netherrealm, the Lin Kuei, and having some awesome fight scenes. In this month's topic show for April, we celebrate the release of Mortal Kombat X by entering the tournament ourselves and talking about the franchise that changed the face of video games forever.
Let Mortal Kombat begin!
Thanks, Mike, for that very educational and supporting children active living and being healthy, just the facts.
My God, it was so weird watching that clip from KTLA, just seeing, like, you have this guy dressed up as Shang Tsung, and he really wants to take the role seriously, but this reporter's obviously not knowing the history of what the hell he's talking about. So, Mr. Shang Tsung, who do you have here? Well, I've got Kano, Sub-Zero, and Sonya, the best of friends. Like, what the hell? Like, it was so dumb.
Oh yeah, just hanging out with my bro Liu Kang.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna steal your soul. I'm gonna conquer Earthrealm.
I'm gonna steal your soul and a few brewskis later.
It was so bad, and I love it whenever they do promotional tours like that, because 9 times out of 10 the people who are doing the interviewing don't know what you're talking about. They're not geeks. I mean, I love, especially local media here in Toronto, whenever you see them do anything around Comic-Con or Fan Expo, they're remarkably brain dead. And yeah. I know there are nerds who work in those newsrooms. I'm like, you know, just for a day, give them the chance to cover this.
That would be the smart thing. But, you know, it's not just with nerd stuff. Like, a lot of journalists don't know what they're talking about.
And it's weird because of the journalistic thing, and that actually kind of ties into Mortal Kombat. If a lot of people didn't report on the violence that Mortal Kombat started back in the 90s, we probably wouldn't have the ESRB. But then again, we had games like Night Trap that were starting to kind of set that off, too. Night Trap, Splatterhouse, and Jack Thompson.
Yeah, I don't know if any of those aforementioned were as big as the Mortal Kombat stuff, though.
I'd say Night Trap, because it often got mentioned in the same sentence because of the perceived quote-unquote sexual violence, which the most you ever saw was a woman in a nightie. She got dragged away before you saw her get splattered. So you never saw anything, truthfully, whereas opposed to Sub-Zero pulling someone's head off.
Yeah, well, heart or
no, the fatalities for the first game, and that's where we'll definitely talk about the games individually as we go forward with this. The first fatalities I remember was Kano pulling out the heart.
Kano did that.
Johnny Cage popping off the head with a fist. And some of these were edited for the Super Nintendo, and I'll talk about that a little bit later too. Sub-Zero's was the spine rip. Raiden popped your head off with electrocution. Yep. Liu Kang's was just a spin kick, which was really stupid. Sonya blew you up. Scorpion blew you up. I don't think I'm missing anybody, am I?
No. Not from the first one, I don't think.
Yeah, just the first 7 fighters. So,
yeah.
So let's talk about our memories for this game. So, memories of Mortal Kombat and me go a remarkable way back. I remember playing this in the arcades when it came out back in 1992. Me and my friend at the time, Ryan, were these ridiculously huge Mortal Kombat fans. And I remember pumping a lot of money into the first game. My main at the time was Scorpion because everybody loved, "Get over here!" And its move was so simple. Like, I mean, all it was back, back, high punch. So it was a move you could spam, but if they blocked it, it left you vulnerable for a few seconds. And actually, fun fact, I found this out while doing research. Mortal Kombat was the first game to have a dedicated block button.
Oh, really?
Yeah, whereas other games, you'd usually press down backs to stuff like Street Fighter or the King of Fighters series. They'd always have a joystick input for that. Whereas Mortal Kombat, nope, you had to hit block.
See, I like that a lot better, actually, because it makes it more fluid.
It does, but it requires you to give you that half second to think. But also, I found out if you, this is more for Mortal Kombat 2, holding block doesn't make you jump. So when you're inputting fatality moves, you can do it that way instead of jumping around, wasting that half second that may time out the fatality, I guess, entry period or whatever. Also, during high school, or not high school, actually, maybe it was. It was probably going into high school, whatnot. I remember playing a lot of Mortal Kombat 2 and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 in my local arcade. I used to hustle kids in Mortal Kombat 2. I would pretend that I was really, really shitty. I'd play as, like, Johnny Cage or Scorpion, and I'd do okay. But then I'm like, all right, well, why don't we make this interesting? I'll bet you $5 that I can beat you. And they're like, yeah, sure, you fucking fat kid. And I'd whip out Melina. And my combo was, I'm trying to remember how I did it. It would usually be, I'd open with a Sai. Then I'd jump kick, teleport kick, roll, teleport kick, jump kick. And usually by this time they're in the corner, I could uppercut them. And I'd usually take off around 60% health.
Oh my god.
And they're like, what the fuck? I'm like, yeah, sucks to be you, doesn't it?
John, you little hustler.
I know.
I would be one of those kids that'd be getting hustled because I love the Mortal Kombat series, but I am terrible at the Mortal Kombat series. Like, I am awful. So I always used to, for me, where the, sorry, are you done with yours? Or?
Actually, just a little bit more, and then, yeah, go ahead. Then it gets, this is where it gets embarrassing. So, another early memory I have is, it's 1995, the 90s are in full swing, Wingfield Saturday Night is popular on the radio, and Lost whatever with El Macarena, or whatever the frig it's called, I'm sitting in line with Ryan, at my local Cinemas 3 at this time, when three screens was kind of a big deal, playing Mortal Kombat on the fucking Game Gear, waiting in line after school to go see this movie. I think me and Ryan were the only people in line for like an hour and a half, and then people started lining up probably about a half hour before the movie opened. But I remember going to the theater, we're like, oh my god, this is so cool! And then I think we saw it like 10 times over the course of like its theatrical run. And this is sadly some of the first fan fiction I ever wrote.
Oh, please, please tell me this.
Okay, so I told part of this story on the prototype, and I'll tell the most embarrassing part now.
I see hand jobs?
Yeah, no. So, I basically ripped off the first movie. I'm not even going to lie and deny that. So, at one point, I have got Liu Kang fighting Goro.
And they make out now?
Yes. Just homoeroticism with four arms, four hand jobs. Anyway, and Goro is beaten. He's, obviously, he's this honorable Shokan prince, and he doesn't want his honor to be taken from him, so he asks Liu Kang to finish him off, to literally finish him. And Liu Kang, Mr. Honorable White Lotus Shaolin Monk, what's he do? Walks up to Goro, okay, and just breaks his neck. Literally, I had him said, okay. Like,
oh, I was hoping that would be like where you do the arcade machine fatality. Like they're fighting on top of like under a dingy pier, and like yeah, like the roof of the pier, like, breaks and down comes a Mortal Kombat 2 thing and squashes it.
I wish I'd had that much forethought, but no, it was kind of pathetic. Now, my friend Ryan, he wrote another Mortal Kombat fan fiction. This guy used to write a whole shit ton. I remember he wrote a Mortal Kombat fan fiction, and he had every possible combination of fights as a chapter. It was ridiculous. I mean, he had something like 300.
Awesome.
He had something like 300 pages, and I'm like, holy shit, dude! I talked at like 90. It was ridiculous. Only other thing I've ever written for fan fiction after that was Mega Man X, and the less I say about that, the better. your go.
Well, as long as we're talking fan fiction, I definitely incorporated Mortal Kombat characters into fan. I used to write, like, my fan fictions used to be this character versus this character. So, like, I'd often, like, throw in Mortal Kombat characters. Like, I think I wrote a thing where it was Scorpion versus Carnage. And, like, they were, like, fighting in Mortal Kombat. It was pretty cool. But my first memories from this series has got to be just going to, like, friends' houses, because my friend always had it, and he had it on the Genesis, and I always had, like, the Super Nintendo. So if you're going to get Mortal Kombat back in the day, you wanted the Genesis version, because it had all the best gore in it. And I just remember getting wiped, just losing and losing and losing. And then I think it was about Mortal Kombat 2. Actually, my uncle got it. So, like, for Easter, half of my memories of that Easter is me just, like, sneaking downstairs and playing Mortal Kombat 2 when I'm supposed to be, like, hanging out with family and stuff. And I'm just like, no, I want to play Mortal Kombat 2. And I'm just playing with my uncle, and he was much better than I am, which is a theme that will just continue on.
That's amazing. I remember I used to play a crap ton of Mortal Kombat 2 on the home consoles, especially between me, Ryan, my friends Quincy and Trevor. And it got to a point where they wouldn't play me anymore.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, they're like, Mike, we're not playing you. I'm like, why? Because you're going to kick our ass. What's the friggin' point? And I remember thinking, oh, but guys. So most often my memories would involve me sitting at home by myself playing Mortal Kombat 2 and 3. But I remember when Mortal Kombat 3 came to the arcades, and it was this big new machine because it had like a bigger monitor at this time and the graphics were so much more improved. I remember looking at the control panel. What the hell is this run button crap? Couldn't stand that was the run button being added into Mortal Kombat.
That's weird. I didn't know about a run button.
Yeah, it was basically to add stuff into, like, kind of, like, so you could run, but also your run meter would also determine how long your combos would last. Because Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 were very casual, very low-key. When you go into Mortal Kombat 3 and forward, the fighting system changed a lot. So you now had character-specific combos, which could deal up to like 30 or 40% damage. And they were very difficult to break out of, but they were a very specific button sequence. But unless you had a full run meter, you couldn't pull them all off. Plus, it was a way to rush, make combat more aggressive, as opposed to the slow walk your character should have in Mortal Kombat 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I played Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 on the virtual console when it came for, I think it was the 360 I played it a lot on. And I just basically bought it because I was obsessed with the movies. Like, I watched the Mortal Kombat movie, like the first one, so much as a kid and, like, even growing into adolescence that, like, if you remember back in the days of Get Glue, when people still use that site, I was the number one review on Get Glue from the first Mortal Kombat movie for years until somebody wrote like a big long review and someone was like, oh, I guess this is good, and clicked on it. Probably didn't even read it.
Those bastards. I'm trying to think of other things. Now, my arcade, we did get the board update for Mortal Kombat 3, for Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and somebody had unlocked all the characters for us. I mean, I remember when a lot of kids used to play as Smoke when he was in his Cyber Ninja form. We had people unlocking Melina. I can't remember whether it was Rain or Ermac that was locked in the arcade, but you had to unlock them. I think it was Rain. But yeah, I remember a lot of kids playing that, but we never did get a Mortal Kombat 4 machine. I had to wait until I went on, there's this big ferry boat that is near me called the Chichimon.
Oh, the Chichimon. I know the Chichimon.
Yeah, which in my language, Ojibwe, I think translates to the big canoe, I think. And they had a Mortal Kombat 4 machine. And I kind of fell out of the series when it went in to the 3D fighter, very much like Tekken and Street Fighter EX. I could never wrap my head around it. And this is when Virtual Fighter was huge and all this stuff. And you could sidestep. They added weapons into it. And I'm like, you know what? This is kind of lame. I'm not liking this at all.
Yeah, most of my experience with the later ones is actually a lot from, like, reviewers on the run and Electric Playground kind of stuff. Like, just seeing more of what happened in those games as opposed to actually playing them. Because I can remember the last time, like, when I really started caring again was Armageddon. just because of like all of the stuff they were throwing into Armageddon and all the people. And that opening cinematic for Armageddon is so awesome that like I watched that like a billion times. But for just like the 3D fighters, I didn't play that many of them because I didn't have the money and I was not as interested in them. But they still had really cool fatalities.
My friend Ryan, once again, he was still huge into the series. Like I said, I fell out around Mortal Kombat 4, didn't come back really until Deception. I would play his stuff. Like, we'd play on the PlayStation 4, or not PlayStation 4, on the PlayStation or the N64.
Okay.
And I remember watching the endings for Mortal Kombat 4, and this is what made me lose interest in the series for many, many years. There was a character who was a member of the Black Dragon, which is Kano's organization. His name was Javik. And there's one ending, but it turns out the endings for Sonya, Jax, and Javik are pretty much all the same thing with a few seconds added on. Javik throws Sonya over the edge of this cliff. And Sonya's like, it's over, Javik, you're under arrest. He's like, no, Sonya, this is the end for you. Literally, this is exactly what he sounds like. So he throws her off, and Jax goes, you killed my partner, I'm going to kill you. He's like, no, you can't do this, this is police brutality. Throws him off. Javik goes, bah, 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 falls off. And he goes, no, Javik, this is a fatality. I'm thinking, nope, stupid, checking out.
No, that's amazing.
It's so bad. So many of the endings were just so stupid. And it's almost like, I know they were trying to advance the lore and give the characters more depth, but that's to a point where it just got stupid.
Yeah, you know, I never liked any of the Black Dragon, like, after Kano substitutes, because there were a lot of, like, other human characters that introduced as, like, Black Gang, or, like, I think there was another one, like, Red Dragon. Was that another?
Yeah, that's more, like, in the more current version that you can play as, like, a Red Dragon faction or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't care about them as much as I did Kano. Like, I really like Kano and his design and his weapons, and I never really liked any of the other fighters that kind of like took his motif.
Cabal would be the only other fighter from the Black Dragon that I liked, mostly because I can combo with him and do retarded combos.
Cabal is awesome. I won't lie, I forgot that Cabal was part of Black Dragon.
If you want to be a douchebag, play as Cabal in Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. If it wasn't the right version, you could do a combo that was 90% and it was unblockable.
Amazing.
It was retarded. I could get it up to like 70% before people got pissy with me. But anyway, so yeah, like the games went on for a number of years. I mean, Mortal Kombat 4 was the last one to be seen in arcades. So the ones that were exclusive to consoles were Deadly Alliance, Deception, and Armageddon. There was some handheld ports in there. In fact, the Game Boy port of, I think, Deadly Alliance is considered one of the worst games of all time. I think it's like totally friggin' broken. Like, the controls don't even respond.
Oh, wow.
There was even Mortal Kombat, I think it was Deadly Alliance, planned for like some kind of a Nokia phone at one point, but the project never saw the light of day. Probably for very good reason. And a lot of the people that used to work on the team, because eventually John Tobias, him and Ed Boon, the guys who created Mortal Kombat, they parted ways. And they did work on some different games. John Tobias formed a different studio called El Gigante. And they did like two games and then they shut down, which sucks. And then eventually coming back to Mortal Kombat, they decided to kind of put more focus into the games. And they kind of made the storyline turn on its head, because in the beginning of Deadly Alliance, they just snap Liu Kang's neck.
Oh, that's right. And that's why in Armageddon, he's like zombie Liu Cage, right?
Yeah, and I'm like,
I love that. I love zombie Liu Cage.
And I'm like, what the hell? And that's another reason I'm like, this is getting retarded. And then they introduce this new bad guy who is not Shao Kahn and not Shinnok.
The dragon guy?
Yeah, the Dragon King. And then eventually, when Mortal Kombat Armageddon comes around, there's a new bad guy called Blaze.
Yeah, which is just like a really, he looks like one of those, in Warcraft 3, there was like a demon that you could summon that looked exactly like Blaze.
I was thinking he looks like Cinder from Killer Instinct.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like everything from every video game ever. Like, he is just a molten fire man.
Although,
how boring.
Although, supposedly, he appears as early as Mortal Kombat 2. When you're fighting on the Pit 2 stage, you see two guys in the background. Now, I can't remember, but they had nicknames. One was Hornbuckle, and I can't remember what the other guy. I think it might have been Blaze, actually. I'm not sure. But there's a guy fighting back there, and fans have speculated for years that was Blaze. And that's another thing, too. I actually forgot to mention what the game is. Mortal Kombat was the first fighting game, or the first game, rather, to introduce the idea of hidden characters.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you had Reptile. Ermac never existed until Mortal Kombat 3, technically.
Which I'm glad he does, because Ermac is, like, one of my favorites.
Which, one of the things I found out about this, turns out the Ermac thing was a joke hidden in the game. They actually put it in future games' menus to just screw with people. There's another one, I think, from Mortal Kombat 4, or maybe it was 3, I don't know. They had Johnny Cage transformations if you go into the arcade counter. And you can kind of see what everything did. So it's a little bit more ridiculous than people realize. One of the cool things about this is when Mortal Kombat Deception came out, they filled this game with content. I think Mortal Kombat Deception is probably one of the best in the series, if not definitely top three. You had Motor Kombat, so Mortal Kombat Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was kind of cool.
You had Puzzle Kombat, which is basically Puzzle Fighter from Street Fighter. You had the Conquest mode, which was really neat. It's like a game within a game, an adventure game that kind of leads up to the events and how Shunjinko basically screwed everything up. And he thought he was doing the work of the Elder Gods. No, you were setting things up for the Dragon King to come back. Good job. And stuff like that. And also introduced the idea of the crypt, where you can unlock different characters, artwork, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Very, very cool stuff. Now, I did mention earlier how there were different versions of some of these games. You'd be surprised how many were released on the home consoles. I found out, okay, so we all know about the Super Nintendo versus the original Genesis version, where it was Sweat in that one. Several fatalities were changed. Though Kano's was still, he still pulled out your heart, yet it was colored gray, so I guess he was removing a tumor.
he was doing you a favor.
Exactly, he was helping you out. Johnny Cage would kick your chest in, although it was just basically, he'd put his foot in your chest and you would die. Instead of punching off your head. It was so stupid. Sub-Zero's, he just would freeze you solid and shatter you. So not bad, but still not as epic as the cool spine rip fatality. That, I think it outsold the Super Nintendo version something like 3-1.
I bet.
Like, those sales for the first Mortal Kombat game were catastrophically in the toilet. And then the Genesis version would have its blood code, but you had to enter it, which was ABACAB, so ABBBACAB. And you would also have, you had an exclusive fatality to the Genesis version called a Fergality. And Fergie, you could only, you had to do it under these very specific set of circumstances, kind of like how you got to the reptile fight. And you'd have this little dude pop up, and his name was Fergie. And he looked like Raiden. It was really, really, really weird. With this giant mustachioed head. If I'm remembering correctly. Yeah, it was kind of strange that they'd put stuff like that in. But I always found that kind of neat. And certain home ports of the game would be based upon different arcade revisions. Some of them may be sped up, sped down, or have moves that were unbalanced. This is most notable with Mortal Kombat 4. On the Dreamcast, which was a launch title for it, there was the Mortal Kombat, and it was called Mortal Kombat Gold. The first releases were gold-colored discs. The second one was a red-colored disc, which was more balanced and fixed a lot of problems with the first game. Some of them would render the game almost unplayable at times, which I found that really neat. And across the different releases that have come out over the years, the ones that get ported to, say, arcade Midway Treasures, when you get on the Xbox or PS2, they'd be near-perfect arcade ports of a certain arcade version, which I thought was actually really, really, really neat. Although, surprisingly, I don't think Mortal Kombat 4 has ever been ported to another console outside of the ones that it was on.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I can't recall ever pop up anywhere else.
Yeah, because I was kind of thinking, like, man, I kind of want to go back and play Mortal Kombat 4 for this show, but I'm thinking, oh yeah, I don't have any of the systems it was available for. But
I mean, that's the one that, like, it's like it looks the worst. Like, it holds up as far visually, like, worse than any other Mortal Kombat game.
Well, yeah, because that was very early in 3D. If people were just starting to get the hang of it. Although, they did develop new hardware for this game specifically, Midway. I think it was called the Zeus hardware, I think it was called. Okay. And it for its time, it looked really good on the Dreamcast. It looked almost arcade perfect. But, because it could render something like 10,000 polygons a second, but I remember that game ran at a consistent 60 frames a second for its time. That was phenomenal, because you'd have games like Tekken that I think Tekken has always run at that speed, because it's a very technical fighter. But like I said, I'm pretty sure of that fact. Don't quote me on it. But yeah, I mean, the big thing happened when Mortal Kombat 9 came out, and that was back in 2011. And that's when the series more or less got rebooted, because the beginning of the game was more or less the end of Mortal Kombat Armageddon, with Shao Kahn and Raiden fighting on top of the pyramid going after Blaze. And you see all the dead warriors. You see, like, Kenshi decapitated. You see, like, Reptile ripped open. Cyrax dead. All this other stupid shit. And you see just these two battling it out for the fate of reality. Then Raiden sends himself a message back through time saying, he must win. And you must... And we all assume, Liu Kang! Liu Kang's gonna win the tournament. But no, it turns out actually Shao Kahn has to win so the Elder Gods can kill him.
Wow.
So he can violate the rules of Mortal Kombat. And it's such a good retcon to the series, because it fixes years of convoluted storyline. Because one of the things that always pissed me off, and they tried to retcon it, and it never came across as anything remotely decent to me, is when they killed Johnny Cage off in Mortal Kombat 3, only to bring him back for Mortal Kombat Trilogy, saying, oh yeah, he survived because reasons.
Yeah, that's the one part of the Mortal Kombat lore that is, like, really complicated and doesn't get explained. Like, there are characters that die off in certain games and then, like, come back randomly. And are just like, oh yeah, hey, we're back. What's up? How's it going, bro? Like...
Yeah, it was just like... What was I gonna say there? Yeah, I mean, they basically tried to fix as much as they could, but also, if you go back and look at some of the cutscenes from Mortal Kombat 9, there's a lot of characters there that are referenced from Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero mythologies. There are people there that are referenced. There's people referenced from, I think, Special Forces, stuff like that. So they do pay homage to the older games, but they try and clean it up as much as possible. And you know what? I'm kind of happy they went with this retcon, although right at the end of the game, it turns into a fucking bloodbath.
I was reading, like, the summary. Is this for the... Are you talking about the first remake or the newest one?
Yeah, the first remake was a bloodbath when you got to... Yeah. I think it was Nightwolf's chapter or Kung Lao's.
Yeah, because doesn't Nightwolf technically die and, like, become, like, a zombie servant?
Yeah, well, basically, Nightwolf sacrifices himself to kill Sindel. Only after Sindel, like, kills... Cabal kills, like, everybody. Striker... Basically, all the people you see as Revenants in Mortal Kombat 10 were all killed by Sindel and Nightwolf, and including Sub-Zero, who's now randomly non-cyberized for whatever reason. But I guess Quan Chi magic, I'm willing to accept that. And then, at the end of Mortal Kombat 9, the only warriors left on Earth's side are Sonya Blade and Johnny Cage. That's it.
Oh, even Liu Kang?
Oh, yeah, Liu Kang is dead. Actually, Raiden kills him.
Oh.
Because he's like, I'm going to fight Shao Kahn. He's like, no, you're fucking not. He's like, I am. He's like, you let Kung Lao die. He's like, but it was necessary. He's like, then you are my enemy, Raiden. And Raiden shocks him, but This is almost kind of goofy. He's standing in a puddle of water. I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding. It's kind of goofy. But it's so stupid. You see Liu Kang dying in Raiden's arms, and he's like, Liu Kang, forgive me. And he's like, you've killed us all, Raiden. And then Mortal Kombat 10, which is the newest release here, and sorry, folks, spoilers. A lot of that game, it sets up kind of what happens from Mortal Kombat 4 forward, because Mortal Kombat 9 is basically retelling the first three games with a lot of changes to it, but it worked. In Mortal Kombat 9, a lot of people are revenants under Quan Chi. Basically, they're like zombies. Although, by punching Quan Chi in the nuts, you break his spell. I don't know. It was really weird. I'm not even kidding. There's one.
What? That has to be a Johnny Cage chapter, though.
No,
right?
That was Sonya.
Oh. Okay.
So Sonya beats the shit out of Quan Chi because Quan Chi's trying to take Johnny Cage's soul, but Raiden interrupts the spell. So Raiden's able to restore life to Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Jax, and I think that's about it.
But, oh, thank God Jax is there.
But Liu Kang's still a Revenant, Kung Lao, Katana, Sindel, Nightwolf, Striker, etc., Cabal. And it's just kind of weird. Now, Mortal Kombat X tries to set up Shinnok, the Elder God, as this huge badass, a threat to all the realms. But he kind of comes off as kind of a pussy. Because literally, in the first chapter, Johnny Cage beats the shit out of him. And he gets trapped inside this amulet, and then Quan Chi, and I don't know. The problem with Mortal Kombat X, if you want to see my full review of it, go check out earlier this week on ThisWeekInGeek.net, is the storyline never feels as epic as it should. It's serviceable, but not as groundbreaking and changing as Mortal Kombat 9's was. And that's part of the big draw of Mortal Kombat. It's the lore. Like, you didn't get this in Street Fighter. And they tried to, but Street Fighter boils down to blah, 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 Shadaloo, blah, 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 fighting tournament, blah, 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 Satsu no Hedo, Ryu, Ken, Sakura, Danibiki. It boils down to that. Because nobody else you give a fuck about.
That just sounds like a bad, like, 80s pop song. And I love it so much. I just want to hear some Asian woman singing it.
It's just, it's so bad. And with King of Fighters, I don't know, blah, 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 Geese Howard, Buster Wolf, I don't fucking know.
And what about Killer Instinct? Blah, 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 Dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's like blah, 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 Ultra Tech, blah, 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 Tournament, B-Orchid, Saber Wolf, Combo Breaker, whatever. And they tried to make it more interesting with the new Killer Instinct, but the problem is you're trying to resurrect a fighting franchise that's been around for almost as long, but you don't care. Mortal Kombat started with this lore. Mind you, the games didn't build on that lore until Mortal Kombat 2, really. But still, at least the thought was there. And that's not bad for what started out as more or less a Jean-Claude Van Damme vanity project.
See, I love that like, the first Mortal Kombat games have, like, actually, like, a lot of the, almost all of the Mortal Kombat games have a lot of, like, direct pop culture references. Like, Raiden is from Big Trouble in Little China. Like, dead on. The character of Raiden, his design and everything like that, dead on from that movie. And then you've got Johnny Cage, who is completely Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, he looks a little different, but, like, he's Jean-Claude Van Damme from, what is it, Kickboxer? Or is it Bloodsport.
Yeah, I think
Bloodsport. That's what I was thinking. And then Liu Kang is, I think, Bruce Lee he's supposed to be after?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. And, like, there's, like, a lot of those, like, direct references, which I just really like the series for all those, like, weird, clever things. Or, like, Rain. You know why he's purple?
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, baby.
I love it. I mean,
I love it so much.
Mind you, you know what's funny? I didn't get the Purple Rain joke until this week. 20 years and I just got it.
I read it on a wiki and then I was like, oh, I'm dumb. I did not know that before.
So let's talk about some of the other things with this franchise. We've talked about the games. Let's talk about some of the characters. Who are some of your favorite characters?
Boy Racho. Boy Racho? Is that Bar Racho? How do you say that? Do you know? Bar Racho?
Boy Racho. Oh, fuck. I just had it. Fuck, I had it, and now you started saying it screwed up. Now I can't pronounce it. Shit. Wait, Boy Wright Show, that's it. Boy Wright Show.
The fat one who drinks and uses farts as his weapons, and, like, his one fatality is, like...
He pukes on you?
He pukes on you, and then the other one is he, like, lights a giant fart on fire and burns you to death.
And this is the guy who trained Liu Kang, ladies and gentlemen.
He's the greatest. And then I love Reptile. Reptile is just... I love him when he's more reptilian, honestly. Like, I don't mind him in the first few games, but, like, once they really start going, like, having him have, like, crazy-looking reptile, yeah, reptilian features, like, he is awesome. Like, I love that. And then, who else do I like? I like a lot. Like, almost all of, like, the cyber ninjas are awesome. Like, Cyrax and all of those guys are, like, really good. And just Jax. Jax is amazing as well. Just because I love... He's kind of like Shaft, but with, like, metal arms.
For me, for the first Mortal Kombat game, definitely Scorpion and Johnny Cage were some of my favorites. Mortal Kombat 2... My main was Melina, but I loved her because she was like a clone of Katana, but she was part Tarkatan, so it means she was evil. Baraka. Love Baraka. Love those blades of his.
I love Baraka Obama.
Yes, Baraka Obama. We love him. I'm trying to think of who else I really like from Mortal Kombat 2. I really liked Sub-Zero in this one, and they kind of give him the background that he's the original Sub-Zero's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Which that kind of leads into another character down the road named Noob Saibot, who is Boon Tobias just backwards. Mortal Kombat 3, the Cyber Ninjas. Love Sector, love Cyrax, love Smoke. Yeah. Everybody I knew played those characters. Smoke because he had the Scorpion Spear. Sector because he had the missiles and he could teleport. And Cyrax for that fucking net. Which everybody hated, but it was the easiest move to spam because it was just back, low kick and you could... get a free hit either. Although for some weird reason your uppercuts would miss, but roundhouses would always hit. And I think they did just a bit more damage. I'm not 100% sure. From that point forward, I kind of lose some of the characters, but I did like Quan Chi. I've always loved his character design. The fact that he's this sorcerer that can rival Shang Tsung and in some ways maybe more powerful because he's from the Nether Realm. Another character that I like, she was introduced in Mortal Kombat 4. Her name's Tanya. She's like an Adenian traitor. Which I thought she was kind of cool. Jade, I've always liked.
What about Meat? Everybody loves Meat.
Hey, man, nothing tops mocap. Love mocap.
Oh, yeah. Mocap is mocap. I love that.
Although, I like some of the villains for this series. I've always liked Goro. Although, it seems like he's only really gotten his due in the last couple of years, because they've really fleshed out his backstory. I mean, before, there was, like, Malibu Comics. I think it was called Goro, Prince of Pain, or something like that. And they tried to make it interesting, and it just ended up coming off as kind of stupid.
Kentaro. Kentaro is, like, the
tiger version.
Yeah, the tiger version. And was it Shiva? Shiva's the other one, right?
Yep, Shiva. Yeah. And then we had Motaro, who I utterly can't stand.
Stupid Motaro.
One of the cheapest bosses the game has ever had. Shao Kahn. I always consider Shao Kahn to be the end-all bad guy for the series, because he has the most presence in the games, I felt. And he had... He was a more interesting character than Shinnok ever was. And he seemed just more powerful than the other characters. And
he's pretty great.
I love his giant hammer.
I just love his giant hammer, his like booming voice. And like when you see him come into the room, you're pooping your pants and running. Like,
well, I love the fact he's like, it's true, you suck.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you weak, pathetic fool, or stuff like that.
He'll just rip you apart. Are there. While we're talking about characters, are there any characters you just don't like that much?
You know what? I don't like the character of Kenshi. I've never liked Fujin, who was, I think, a Mortal Kombat 4 character. He's like the god of wind, and you kind of deal with him in Mortal Kombat mythologies. I like Jax, but only Mortal Kombat 2 Jax.
Oh, really?
Once he got the metal arms, he got kind of stupid. And his fatalities in Mortal Kombat 3, I always thought were really friggin' lazy. I stopped liking Kung Lao after a while, too.
Oh, man. I love Kung Lao.
He just turned really gimmicky. I liked him in Mortal Kombat's 2 and 3. I was really happy with him there. He's not bad in the new Mortal Kombat's. Let me see. In the new Mortal Kombat, there's a character called Farah and Tora, who's basically Master Blaster from Beyond Thunderdome. It's that character's so stupid.
Who run Barter Town?
I run Barter Town. It's so dumb. It's,
now, what I from that character, like, are there is one like a kid or is like
I guess she's a dwarf or something.
Oh, it's a she.
Yeah, too. Yeah. It's this little black girl. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be a dwarf or just a kid. I have no idea. The game never makes it clear.
Aaron Black looks pretty cool.
Aaron Black's not bad. Although he's one of the few characters that seems really out of place. Because random cowboy. And there's this other character named... I guess he's a... He's Kenshi's kid, I think. I think his name is Takeda. I just call him Takeda. Because I can't remember how to
He looks it stupid. Like, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. That guy looks straight up stupid.
Yeah, I'm just... I mean, he does have some pretty cool moves, but he does remind me a lot of Raiden from Metal Gear Solid 4 and Metal Gear Revengeance. He just seems really out of place. Although, one of the new characters I really like, and a lot of people don't like him because he's such a Boy Scout, is a character called Jun. And Jun is a descendant of Kung Lao. You play Mortal Kombat X, and he is the archer character.
How many descendants does Kung Lao have?
Well, I guess a lot of people like the fuck, I guess, right?
Kung Lao, the ultimate ladies' man.
Kung Lao, king of pussy. but yeah, it's just... It's so weird that we get all these characters from Mortal Kombat X, and you care about some of them, but not everybody. In fact, Angry Joe just posted his review of this today, actually. And each character has three variations on their fighting style. So you more or less have, like, I think it's something like 70 different variations of characters. Which is kind of nuts, but I'd rather have more characters than have each character have a different fighting style, so to speak. But it's not to say that it's all bad, though. Although, if I did have one complaint that really annoys me, the fact that you have some characters in story mode, you fight, but you never play as them. Such as Baraka, Sindel, and Rain. And though they have all their movesets are in the game.
Wow. When I saw you post that, I just assumed that... you were just talking about, like, there are, like, boss characters. But that's, like, characters that you normally can play as. So that's weird.
My guess is DLC down the road, or they're not finished yet or something.
Yeah, their DLCs lately are worth talking about, too, because they've got, like, what? They've got Jason. Oh, the Easy Fatality? I was talking about, like, Jason coming out. The Predator. Is there any other one announced?
Yes, there's Tanya from Mortal Kombat 4 and Tremor. Who was a Lin Kuei ninja that was loyal to Kano from Mortal Kombat Special Forces.
I was really hoping that you were going to say Tremor, and it was just the worms from Tremors.
Yes, like, plays the Graboids.
Graboid attack!
But yeah, I mean, trying to think of what else to kind of talk about in terms of characters here. I've always loved Shang Tsung. I always think he's awesome, especially his portrayal in the movies. So let's kind of transition to talking about the movies for this. The first one came out, like I said, back in 1995, was the first video game movie to get it right, and arguably one of the only ones to ever get it right. And that's even taking liberties with it, because the story is kind of a mishmash of Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 with little bits of 3 mixed in there, if you look for it.
Yeah.
One of the best parts about that movie was actually the casting. The guy they got to play Liu Kang is a guy named Robin Sho, who went on to do stuff. He did Beverly Hills Ninja with Chris Farley. Yes. He played 14K in the Death Race movies. He made really a weird cameo appearance in the Dead or Alive movies as a pirate captain, which I thought was kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, he fights Jamie Presley's character or something on a boat. It's random. But yeah, you had Christopher Lambert as Raiden. I can't pronounce him. I think it's Kerry Tagawa played Shang Tsung. The guy that plays Kano, Trevor Goddard, unfortunately committed suicide a couple years ago. However, every incarnation of Kano has retconned his original Japanese-American origin to make him Australian because of Trevor Goddard's performance.
Performance is awesome.
Yeah, he really set the tone for that character, and I've always really liked it. You had Bridget Nielsen as Sonya, Lyndon Ashby as Johnny Cage.
I love Johnny Cage in that movie. I think one of my favorite things I've heard about that movie is, like, you know when Johnny Cage does the fatality to Scorpion and then puts the, like, your biggest fan? Yeah, I read a comment on the internet that was like, so I'm confused. Was Scorpion just like a really big Johnny Cage fan and had that in his pocket? And I was like, I just like that continuity so much more that he just had that in his pocket and was like, oh, I love you, Johnny Cage.
Or alternatively, to look at it this way, Shang Tsung couldn't describe Johnny Cage accurate enough, so he had to buy his autograph to show Scorpion, okay, here's the guy you have to kill.
He's just, like, sitting there in line at a convention. Your signature is mine!
Or Shang Tsung has a mailing address for the Johnny Cage fan club. Puts a whole new spin on the character. Makes it a little less threatening when you picture Shang Tsung buying stamps. But that movie, it took a lot of liberties, but it didn't make it suck. I mean, a lot of people complained about the Scorpion Sub-Zero, but they explain it away as Shang Tsung, like, deadliest of enemies, but slaves under my power. So, okay, you know what? I'm willing to buy that.
Yeah.
And use the element that creates life.
Which, I always thought that was really intense, although I did think the ninjas went down as kind of bitches.
Cause, I wouldn't say Scorpion did. Scorpion had, like, a good fight.
Yeah, Scorpion put up a good fight, despite being sliced in half by medieval Captain America. With the spike shield. Although, Sub-Zero, he got bitched right out, though. He got beat by a bucket of water.
He got beat by a pail of water.
Sub-Zero, fatality by janitor.
So, in theory, if you want to kick Sub-Zero's ass, have a super soaker.
Oh, my powers are used against me.
Curse is foiled again. Although, the girl they got to play Katana, Talisa Soto, always had a huge crush on her. Thought she did a fantastic job with it. But yeah, that movie, overall, did really, 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 really well. Spawned two soundtracks for it.
Oh, the soundtracks, yeah.
George S. Clinton did the music, did the score. But then there was the licensed soundtrack, which I have a feeling the one you're going to talk about. Yes?
Oh, I love that. The opening, like, Mortal Kombat theme is the best. I think it's the best. Like, I don't think there's any questioning that anything would be superior to
it. Like, honestly, the soundtrack is so 90s, but it so fits the movie. And it turns out, and this is something that it's a bit of a rarity to find, actually. There was a Mortal Kombat CD produced for the arcade game, but it was tied into the arcade versions as well. And it was done by a German group called the Immortals, I think it was. And each character has their own song. And it's a little bit weird because they've got Sonya Blade has this weird hip or this weird Europop dance track. Raiden is, it's really weird. In fact, at the end of this episode, I may put a track from that. If you've listened to the prototype, you've undoubtedly heard some of this, such as Liu Kang's Born in China or Sub-Zero's Chinese Ninja Warrior. But we all know the big song of Mortal Kombat, which still gets used today in a lot of fight sequences and in a lot of commercials if you listen for it.
Chinese Ninja Warriors from that soundtrack?
Yeah.
That's actually a great song. I really like that song.
I like Kano's Use Your Might. That's one of my favorites. But yeah, I mean, and it was a hard CD to find because you had to mail away for it. I don't ever remember seeing it in a Music World or an HMV or, you know, a Walmart ever when I was a child. My friend Ryan got it, and I ripped it off of him back when MP3 ripping was a thing. But yeah, it was one of those soundtracks that was really hard to find. There was also another soundtrack that came with it called Mortal Kombat More Combat, which had music from and inspired by. Basically, that's just a way of saying, okay, we're going to use the Mortal Kombat license to put these tracks on a CD, go for it. However, the soundtrack was actually surprisingly really good. Then there was the soundtrack for Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh my gosh.
I saw this in theaters opening night.
I am jealous of you. See, people will think that this movie is so bad that you shouldn't watch it. This movie is so bad, everyone should watch it. Every single human that's ever existed needs to watch Mortal
Kombat. It's worth seeing once, but you're not seeing it because you're a fan of the franchise. You're seeing because you... I don't even know how to describe this. In fact, you know what, Roback?
So good.
We need to get you on a DVD commentary for us just to talk shit about this movie.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Man, the guy who plays Jax in that movie is the greatest.
Because he turns into hip-hop Jax.
Oh, yes.
He's like, yo, Sonya, I ain't taking this. Don't play me, fool. And it's ridiculous. Thinking, you're her commanding officer? You're an asshole.
Mother, I thought you were dead. No, but soon.
You will die.
You will die. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's so stupid.
And then Reptile in that movie is just as a random, like, three reptiles that pop out and, like, bring it on, bitch. Like, it's so ridiculous.
And, yeah, because half of that movie was just, okay, let's cram as much of Mortal Kombat 3 into a movie and subtly hint towards Mortal Kombat 4.
Like, the worst-looking Baraka ever. Like,
I was
Baraka
thinking
so bad.
I was thinking of the animality fight at the end, which is retarded.
Oh, the animality fight. Just the... There's, like, pictures online that are just, like, the screen cap of, like, when Shao Kahn is about to, like, do his transformation. And, like, that's the biggest constipation face ever made.
It's so stupid. Plus, that movie, the only person to return... So, there were two people from the original cast that returned. Robin Cho as Liu Kang and Talisa Soto as Katana. Everybody else was recast. Johnny Cage dies in the first minute and a half of that movie.
Oh yeah! He's just like, Johnny Cage is dead. Oh, well.
Yep, I mean, Shao Kahn, now played by the alien bounty hunter from the X-Files, Brian Cox, just snaps his fucking neck. And Sonya's like, yeah! And then you have James Remar, who you might know from, I think it's the Too Fast, Too Furious and the Warriors movie, plays Raiden. And he just, it comes across as so friggin' awkward. And you have the costumes are terrible. Sindel looks like fucking a Bride of Frankenstein hooker. it's ridiculous. And half the characters show up for, like, here, we're here for a second time to go. Rain just randomly dies because Kahn's like, you failed me, die. and they randomly mention other characters like Cabal and Stryker saying they've been captured or killed or something like that. Then the one part I hated about this, once again, ties into the animalities point. It's where Liu Kang has to fight Jade, but Nightwolf shows up, throws his tomahawk at him, manages to knock him out, not kill him. But it's just, it's the portrayal of Nightwolf. I don't know. It's so stereotypical Indian that,
man,
it bothers me because
Nightwolf
I'm native.
Does nothing in that movie.
He's like,
use
your animality, Liu Kang.
Yeah, like he's
fuck
so
off.
Useless. Get in touch with animal spirits.
Exactly.
And buy Lakota and Cheap Smokes.
It's, like, just, it's so dumb. It's like, I have advice from Chief Tumbling Dice. Like,
Chief Tumbling Dice. Okay. Calm down, Adam Sandler.
But yeah, it's so... See, I can say that because I'm brown, go to hell. not that we endorse racist comments on this show, but hey, we're here to have a little bit of fun. But yeah, it's just... It's so... That portrayal bothered me. I liked... Nightwolf in Mortal Kombat 9 is a fucking badass. Mortal Kombat Annihilation, he's a chump. And randomly, Jade goes from being a black woman to a Chinese woman. inexplicably for some reason. Kind of a hot one, but no. And then Motaro looks... There's no other way to say this nicely. He looks like an asshole.
Motaro, dude, you just look like an asshole. I'm sorry to tell you.
He just looks so goofy.
It's just like a meeting with Shao Kahn and all his guys. Like, all right, guys, we have to talk. Motaro, I don't care that you break cookies for the meeting. You still look like an asshole. No one likes you.
You and your centaurs, go fuck off.
You are always a cheap bastard.
It's, I don't know. They just, now, when I saw this in theaters, I saw this with about 15 of my friends. We were all excited. You know what sucks? We saw this movie. We were the only 15 people in the fucking theater.
That would have been amazing.
Oh, yeah. We just riffed it the whole time. Now, it was cool because they had these little... Sometimes theaters will give out posters for the movie. They'll be like these little one sheets. We brought home... I must have brought home like 50 or 60 of them. In fact, I still had some as of like 5 years ago.
Nice.
And it was really cool. I kind of wish I'd actually kept one. But yeah, Annihilation sunk the franchise for its theatrical run. Although there was pre-production started on Mortal Kombat Devastation. But there was a hurricane that ruined like all the sets. And they're like, yep, all right, well, that's enough of that. It's almost like God said, no, no. Go lay down. No.
One of the elder gods was like, God, no, please. Exactly. You must stop this.
To protect Earthrealm, you ain't making another one.
To protect Earthrealm, we must forget about this franchise.
It was terrible. However, though, not everything was complete crap that came out of Annihilation. We also had... Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, which was a 13-episode animated series, as I mentioned in Just the Facts. It ran on the USA Network. It wasn't bad. It did introduce characters like Quan Chi. You had Ermac in it. You had Rain, I think, showed up. It showed a decent battle between between Sub-Zero and Scorpion, which I always found that kind of weird that Sub-Zero was voiced by Luke Perry, of all people. And you know that must have been something he personally asked for.
Yeah.
Like, I can't picture his agent going, hey, do you want to voice a ninja? No, I can imagine Luke Perry, because he's about that right age where he would have been playing this in the arcades. Saying, hey, there's a Mortal Kombat project. Can I do it? Well, let me ask. Because at that time, he was still a marketable name, because 90210 was still fairly popular. So That's kind of interesting there. There was another live-action TV show called Mortal Kombat Conquest, which happens, like, I think it's 200 years before the first game.
That, like, just looks like the most boring thing ever.
Really?
Like, I haven't seen any episodes, but, like, everything I've read about it and everything I've seen about it, it just sounds like a really boring show.
Surprisingly not, actually. I was actually really surprised how well it was put together and how well it's actually been received by fans.
Oh, really? Like, it's actually good?
It's really good. They actually, they go into the politics of the Lin Kuei. You see how the rivalry between Scorpion and Sub-Zero started.
Oh, cool.
They have an episode with Quan Chi, and they even have, I think, one of the chick assassins from Mortal Kombat Mythology, Serena, I'm pretty sure, appears. And the last episode has Shao Kahn, like, kicking the shit out of Raiden. And the movie, it was supposed to tie into the first movie at the end of its second season, but it didn't get renewed. But yeah, Mortal Kombat Conquest was surprisingly well done. I mean, it's definitely 90s Adventures of Hercules cheesy, but it treats the source material very well. Oh, also features a very young Christina Loken, who would go on later to play the Terminatrix in T3 and would be Blood Rain in those video game movies.
Oh, yeah. She played Blood Rain.
Yeah,
oh,
she played the Thief Taja. And the series followed Kung Lao before he fights Goro and this other bodyguard named Ciro. But it wasn't a half bad series. The fight sequences were really, really good. I enjoyed it. And, the episode with Quan Chi is worth watching, and the other episode, I think it's called Blood and Ice, is the Scorpion Sub-Zero episode, and it's fairly decent as well.
Goro appear in the show at all?
No, but I think they mention him a bunch because because I think at the end of the first season it leads into the first tournament. But once again, I haven't seen it in a really long time. I only watched the Quan Chi episode and the Sub-Zero episodes before we recorded this. Another thing to talk about, as I mentioned during Just the Facts, there was a stage show for this thing, and it ran for about a year. I think it went through like 50 cities in the U.S. I don't think it ever came to Canada. And it was supposed to be based more or less on the first movie, but it was more like martial arts and lasers. But there was supposed to be these coins you could get, these medallions that were supposed to help defend Earthrealm, but they were never printed in time for the tour. And they were supposed to be given out. And if you look on some of the electronic press kits for this thing, you can find them on like YouTube. It looked like a pretty interesting show. I mean, some of the special effects actually looked kind of fun. I really wish I'd had a chance to see this. I mean, the closest I ever came was my parents bought me the pay-per-view for TMNT's Coming Out of Your Shell tour when I was a kid.
Oh, man.
But they never got me the Mortal Kombat live tour. But once again, I don't think it ever came to Canada, but it toured around, like I said, I think 50 cities for about a year. Turns out, they actually toured around the Mortal Kombat 4 arcade machines as well. You got to try it like a week or two before the game came out.
Nice.
Which I thought that was... I've never heard of a game doing that, so I thought that was actually kind of neat. Other things to talk about with this, like I said, there's some really good music with these things. Almost all the soundtracks are legitimately really good in some capacity. Like I said, the first Mortal Kombat licensed soundtrack shows its age, but it's a good slice of 90s rock. One of the songs you'll probably recognize, I think they had it in the first Bad Boys movie, was KMFMDM's Juke Joint Jezebel. Which is just, it's just a fun song. You'll recognize that from the Kano Sonya fight in the movie. Mortal Kombat, More Combat's not a bad CD, and they also have remixes that update the theme song for all the new characters. I think the one from Mortal Kombat Annihilation is called Encounter the Ultimate. Maybe I'll hide that song at the end of the episode or something from the other soundtrack. I'll see whatever's cheesier is the one that I'll pick. Now, one of the final things I want to talk about this is some of the merch that's been available for Mortal Kombat over the years. Andrew, you like VHSs.
Oh, yeah.
You should keep your eye out. This was available for about $14 at the time, and it was the official prequel to the movie, which makes no sense.
Huh?
It was called Mortal Kombat: The Journey Begins.
Oh, is that the one? Is that like, is it animated?
Yes.
That's on the Blu-ray.
It is, you should find this. You should find the VHS for it.
Oh, of course, I'd buy it if I saw it. Yeah.
It's so bad. In fact, if you look on our Mortal Kombat episode we did on the prototype, I actually included the full movie because it's up on YouTube. So you should go check it out because it's utterly a complete piece of 90s crap. And although I can't take Shang Tsung seriously because he's voiced by Darkwing Duck. That's Jim Cummings. There, it's so bad. It's ridiculous.
Darkwing Duck, your soul is mine.
He's like, oh, Johnny Cage. It's so bad. Now, there were a number of comic books done by Malibu. DC actually just did a series recently as the prequel to Mortal Kombat X. There's the DC versus Mortal Kombat tie-in comic for that game that came out probably about, I guess it would have been 2009, I want to say, for Mortal Kombat versus DC. Fun game, kind of, but no blood, but whatever. I liked it. There was also, for Mortal Kombat 1, there were really weird Halloween costumes. And the one I remember most was one for Raiden. And it basically was like a white plastic garbage bag with the Raiden hat. And it was just bad. But one of the weirder things I remember is they were like bicycle gloves, but they were called combat gloves. And they were specifically for when you played the game on home consoles or in the arcade. They had like a padded thumb or padded fingers. so you wouldn't get strain injuries. Kind of weird. But they had the MK Dragon on them, so obviously they look fucking badass. there were the G.I. Joe figures for these things, which were kind of terrible because...
Did they have, like, removable arms or anything? Like, they should make, like, fatality-ready action figures for Mortal Kombat.
There are some newer ones. I think they're done by Jax Pacific. I'm not 100% sure on that, or maybe NECA. They're a lot nicer in sculpt. There's been some really nice figures come out in the last 10 years for Mortal Kombat, but some of the stuff in the 90s was just terrible, 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 terrible. One of the other cooler things I saw, these were definitely for the home consoles. They were programmable controllers where you could pre-program in macros for your fatalities or special moves.
Oh.
So you would insert these cards into the back of the controller, and you could program, like, Baraka's Spark or his Impalement fatality, because the macro would already be programmed, and it was just push a button.
Nice.
That was way ahead of its time, I think, in that regard. Never had a chance to play with them, unfortunately, but I did see the ads in a number of Mortal Kombat strategy guides. The one I had, I think it was done by Brady Games. It was for Mortal Kombat 2. It had this nice black glossy cover with the MK Dragon on it, and I treasured that thing for years because it came with Mortal Kombat, like, stickers and some other shit, but it gave you all the frame data for each character in Mortal Kombat 2 and just how to do everything, and that's why I became so devastatingly good as Melina, because I studied it every time I went to the bathroom, because it was just, I just left it in there so I could read it.
Nice.
Which yeah, it was really cool. I don't have it anymore. I lost it during a move.
Oh.
But I'm trying to think of other really, really weird merch I've seen. I remember there were Mortal Kombat birthday party stuff, which has always found that kind of weird. Mortal Kombat clothing's always been a thing.
Happy birthday, kids! Here's a severed head.
Yeah, woo! But yeah, I mean, Mortal Kombat, it's been a franchise that has done so much. It's been across so many alliterations. I think there's even, like, a Tiger handheld game for Mortal Kombat. I'm almost certain of it. So, yeah, I guess... Closing thoughts on the Mortal Kombat franchise.
The Mortal Kombat franchise is so much fun. It has such a wide variety of characters and backstories and just a bunch of lore to just dig yourself into, while still being, like, a really fun fighting game and having such weird media associated with it. So if you haven't ever played the Mortal Kombat games, you deserve to give it a try, because you'll guarantee at least have a bit of fun.
Absolutely. I mean, Mortal Kombat, to me, it's a fighting game that gave fighting games a reason to have a story. It established a lore, and it's deep if you look for it. So I really recommend you check out at least the first three games and the reboot. Everything else is kind of optional, but I'm sure you'll be able to find it across Xbox, PS2, or whatever. So guys, until next time for This Week in Geek, we have been...
Andrew Randry Roebuck.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, finish him!
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it!
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join... Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear...
somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by at replying to at thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
It's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.